Amen. One of the books that I read during my continuing education week was Quantum Theology. Quantum explores tiny building blocks and fields of energy that form us and the entire cosmos. Quantum has found many amazing discoveries. For instance, if an atom is split, then something is done to alter one of the quarks in one half of the atom. The quark in the other half of the atom is also altered. It appears that this will hold true for any distance that they are separated. So there is a field of energy that connects these two quarks no matter how far apart they are. There are fields of energy that connect all matter and all particles. Now, we are familiar with fields of gravity, magnetics, light, and heat, or in the case of Minnesota, soon the absence of heat, cold. And we are discovering more fields all the time, such as the field that communicates and alters the twin quark of a split atom. We have discovered that the entire cosmos, including us, is all intricately related, is interconnected. A change, a choice, anywhere, by anyone, affects the entire cosmos. Interestingly enough, if we split a field of energy, instead of getting two halves, we get two identical complete fields. At least for an instant. For each field, each particle has an array of choices that it can change or alter into. The cosmos is ever expanding. Every particle and every person has a choice in how it will expand. The more we discover in science, the more truths are confirmed in Scripture. We are all related. If something happens to one of us, all of us are affected. Perhaps the Apostle Paul was one of the first to explain quantum to us. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. Quantum invites us to explore the interconnectedness we have with all matter. Even something that appears to have no life at all, say a stone, is really composed up of tiny particles that are dancing around with fields of energy. Some quantum experts believe these fields of energy are God, the Holy Spirit, ever creating, ever expanding, relating and connecting all. Every choice we make has an impact on the entire cosmos. Take Paul Colton here, for example, who rides his bike to work. Paul's choice to bike uses less natural resources, so the rest of us all have more. There is less pollution for everyone, less need for expanding the road, so Paul lowers all of our taxes and gives us more green space, meaning we have more oxygen. Paul is in better shape, so he can serve, do more, and be more loving. Paul spends less on gas so he can pay for a child to be educated in Africa. Paul will need less health care, so that means if you're not feeling well, there's a little bit more health care for you. The ride refreshes and energizes Paul, making him more joyful. And we could go on and on. Paul choosing to ride his bike makes every other person's life around the whole world and every future person that will live better. Every simple action we take has an impact on the entire cosmos. And just so you know, I got Paul's permission. I never use anyone in the congregation in my sermon without their permission first. So in case if you're nervous about that in the future, I will come and talk to you if I'm going to talk about you. So the Apostle Paul knew that for his joy to be complete on earth, all people need to choose love. The Apostle Paul wrote, "If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interest, but to the interest of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God also highly exalted Jesus and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Our joy, your joy, is impacted by the choices of others. Imagine your life with every relationship being positive, life-giving, and enriching. Imagine your joy if your every encounter, even with a stranger, is positive. Everyone is polite, drives considerately, and smiles. The church is to strive to live and model this type of love for each other and for the world. We should be the most joyful, robust, laughing, clapping, dancing people because we love everyone. Matthew wrote, "When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, 'By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?' Jesus said to them, 'I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it from human origin?' And they argued with one another, 'If we say from heaven, he will say to us, why then did you not believe him? But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet.' So they answered Jesus, 'We do not know.' And he said to them, 'Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, "Son, go and work in the vineyard today." He answered, "I will not." But later changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same. And he answered, "I go, sir." But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." The parable of the two sons reveals both individual and corporate salvation. Each son had an individual choice, whether to work or not. But each individual choice affects all three people. How do you think the father felt when the one said he wouldn't help, but then showed up? And how did he feel about the son who said he would help, but then snubbed his father? What would it be like if all three had worked together? Each would only need to do one third of the work. How would their conversation be different? I bet you they would be a lot more joyful, all working together. The second son was affected by the choice of the first son. Maybe the second son decided not to show up because he was influenced and angry that the first son said he wasn't going to go and he didn't want to be stuck there all alone with his father doing all the work. So what was the mood of the father in all of this? Was the sons resenting each other for what they said and not showing up and this game of working, not working, I'm going to be there, I'm not going to be there, I don't know when I'm going to show up? But what would the mood be like? What would their family be like if all three joyfully said yes to one another and worked and served together? Here are some quotes based on quantum. Dharmad Omucha: "Across the sciences, there is mounting evidence for the fact that everything is created out of relatedness, sustained through relationships, and thrives on interdependence." Then he goes on to ask, "What might churches look like if the emphasis was more on trust rather than on control, on relationality rather than on dominance?" Catherine Zappone, the pivotal shift in spirituality's meaning for the 20th century resides in the birth of a worldview of interdependence or relationality. Errol Harris, the perception of relations precisely is what constitutes insight. And again, Diarmaid Oramuchu, contemporary culture prizes dominance and control. This translates into the political preoccupation with law and order and religious emphasis on obedience and subservience. To enforce this philosophy, everything is viewed as autonomous, individualistic, and isolated. But nature and cosmic evolution thrive on interdependentness, on relatedness. Meaning arises from connections and relationships, leaving humanity with a formidable challenge to change our perceptions and fundamental understanding of how creation operates. Can you personally relate to the notion that each one of us is the sum of our relationships? And that we develop personal identity from our relationships and not from autonomous independence? We must learn to befriend our universe as a subject with whom we relate, a living organism within which we live and move and have our being. If creation at large thrives on relationality, why do we cling so rigidly to a culture of fierce competition? There is both individual and corporate salvation and transformation, and there is also both individual and corporate sin. Quantum theology asks us to consider our contribution, good or bad, to the well-being of others, to the entire cosmos. When a student excels in academics, it is the culmination of every relationship. Teacher, parents, peers, the taxpayers, custodian, coach, pastor, the bus driver, etc., all have an impact. Our culture's view and value of education, the building, all have an influence. Quantum theology believes that each of us has a part also in every sin committed. Take, for example, violence by a football player. Yes, that is an individual choice. However, the choice is influenced by everyone's choice. All of us have a part when any member of our society does a sin. We are all partially responsible. Our choices as a society to pay football players huge salaries. Our choice to give them a pass in many little ways along the way because of their ability. Our choice to cheer when they make a violent, vicious hit on the football field all contribute to that individual choice. We are all a little responsible. Quantum theology views hunger, anytime there is a lack of shelter or clothes or healthcare or education, as a corporate sin. Some do not have enough because others want more than their share, to be in control, to dominate others. Since all of us make choices that affect our society and politics, all of us have a part in the sin of anyone going hungry anywhere. You also have a choice to be a part of the solution. Quantum theology believes that if a person becomes, say, an alcoholic, all of us are partially responsible. Certainly, the alcoholic is responsible for their choices. However, everyone in relation with the alcoholic has also contributed to their alcoholism. Some have said and done hurtful things that this person is trying to escape by drinking. Some have enabled them. Society has made alcohol easy to buy, even the cool thing to do. And after all, advertisements show us that if one drinks, all of their troubles will disappear and they will be surrounded by happy, beautiful, fit people. The alcoholic creates pain for everyone that they encounter. Whenever someone suffers, we have a choice. Choose the better choice, the more loving way, so that all of us will suffer less in the future. Quantum theology believes if one person gets cancer, it is a result also of our corporate choice. Choices to make readily available and cheap certain foods, to use certain chemicals, to live a certain lifestyle. Science has identified how we can significantly reduce many diseases, but it will take a change by all of us in our daily lives. Now, the exciting thing about quantum theology is that we really can make everyone's joy full by our daily choices. Can you imagine a future where everyone loves each other so that everyone's joy is complete? Small choices you make ripple through the cosmos, having a huge impact. Our custodian, Don, tells me that we are putting in the garbage many of our recyclables here at church. Don has made a choice that he will take all of our aluminum to the recycling center. And Session has made a choice that the money from that recycling will go to Houses for Haiti, providing homes for families. Will you make a choice to always put your aluminum cans, plastic and paper, in our recycling containers? The Apostle Paul often talked about our interconnectedness, our relationality. He said, we are all a part of one body. We can't get more connected than that. Paul knew that for his joy to really grow, it takes all of humanity choosing to love. Your choice, even the smallest choice, makes a difference. Your good, loving choices will make everyone's joy complete. Amen. Let us take a moment of silence to center with God.